pretty good for 2 days of practicing. That included this morning on the way to church. Mom and Dad, well, never mind. I ain't going to tell you what to say. Oh, my lands. I tell you, it's just a blessing to be able to be with you. And so there's been some discussion about something that I didn't really know a lot about. So I figured that I would study it, and I would tell you about it, and then I would relate it back to the Bible. And so today I want to talk to you about Calvinism. Calvinism, you said. Well, there's a little history there. It goes back to the Presbyterian Church back in the early days. And it was founded by a brother named John Calvin. But the problem is that how it's rearing back up and how it's coming back and being a part of our churches, and there's several things there that is a problem. If you believe by what the Bible says, and then you should have a problem with this type of doctrine that is being taught today. So we have to let you know what those false doctrines are as pastors, as teachers and preachers. We have to make sure that you know the difference. And one way to know that difference, too, is that you do your own studying. If someone tells you that something is wrong, look it up. Find out. Go to your source, the Bible, and find out the difference between those two and what those people believe and why it's wrong or why it's something that you shouldn't gear towards. Because there are false prophets out there. There are false teachers and preachers out there that we learn about. And so we have to make sure that we're geared to what is right and what is in the Bible. So today is there's a teaching that is sweeping our nation, and so we need to talk about that. So 5 points of Calvinism that I want to talk to you about today is that it's used, and you can remember, if you remember the acronym TULIP, T-U-L-I-P, you can remember to identify Calvinism. The T stands for total depravity. It's meaning corruptness, evil. You see, it's also known as a total inability or the original sin. U is unconditional election. And I'll tell what each one of these are. And L is limited atonement or particular atonement. The I is the irresistible grace. And P is perseverance of the saints. Let's turn in our Bibles to Galatians. And we're going to talk to you about here where Paul is speaking to Galatia, and he was talking about that there was only one gospel, one God that they should be worshiping. We can't take what the Bible says and twist it to be our own. We can't take it and twist it around to make it fit our needs. If you got your Bibles, Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 through 9, please stand as we read God's Word. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Let us pray. Lord, I just pray today that the word that is speaking is the true and living word that you have ordained, Lord. Lord, I just pray at this time that at the end of this message, we will learn the difference between what Calvinism is and what the Bible says. Lord, we just thank you and we praise you. Amen. You may be seated. See, it's kind of hard when you get up here and you want to talk about something that is something that we have our own neighboring churches believing in. This came up Monday night when I was talking to the pastors, and we were talking a little bit about Calvinism, and I'm saying, you know what, I don't know enough about that to even speak about it. So this week I studied it, and I looked, and I tried to find some information on it to let you understand what is going on. Now, if you've already studied it and you already know everything, just be quiet. I got to tell it again to the ones that don't. But total depravity is corruptness, and it's also known as total inability or the original sin. See, the Calvinists ask the question, in light of the scriptures that declare man's true nature of being utterly lost and incapable, how is it possible for anyone to choose or to desire God? And see, their answer is, he cannot. Therefore, God must predestine. That's what the Calvinists believe, that they're predestined, that people are predestined to become a Christian, to know God. And that's not right. We'll learn a little bit more, and I'll give you some scripture. Calvinism also maintains that because of our fallen nature, we are born again, not by our own will, but God's will. Well, yeah, there's a little bit there, you know, because of God's will, we're able to do that, but we're able to make those decisions. See, God gives us a chance to make those decisions. So then the Calvinist teaches that because of man's total wickedness, he is incapable of choosing to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's saying, or the Calvinists are saying, that man cannot change. That once he's wicked, once he's a sinner, we can never change. So the Bible teaches us about the original sin in Romans 5:12. It says, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And listen, that means that we are all sinners. And we do have an opportunity to accept Jesus into our heart. We do have an opportunity to worship God. So, do the scriptures teach a man that is totally depraved, immoral, corrupt, and wicked? Yes, every one of them. Everyone that was in the Bible had some type of problem or something that they were dealing with, and it's no different than us today. You see, we all have something that we are not proud of. In Romans 3:10, it says, there is none righteous, no, not one. Even me, Dana. Even me. Romans 3:23 concludes, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So scriptures teach us, because of Adam's sin, all mankind inherited the same sin nature. Not just some of us. Not just the select few. Every one of us. We have to repent of our sins, and then we become a Christian. We become a follower of Christ. Then there's a lot more work to do there. It's just like a soldier. You don't just become a soldier, go to basic, and that's it. You have more training to do your thing. It's just like most jobs. You have more training. Seems like you never get done with that. Well, it's the same as church. That's why we have more training, more teaching, because we want you to know and be equipped for the glory of God. We have to be aware of such false teachings because it's out there and it sounds good. So if you don't know the difference, church, I just want to tell you, there's a church not even 30 minutes from here that is believing what I'm telling you today. They believe that only a few are being chosen. I just don't know how. While original sin and total depravity are scriptural concepts, total inability or the inability for a man to make a choice concerning his relationship with God is not true according to the scripture. You see, if you ever want to know, back it up by scripture. Don't move the scripture around to make it fit for that situation. The scripture will fit if it does. The next thing is unconditional election. According to Calvinism, God has unconditionally and arbitrarily elected those to be saved before the foundation of the world solely on the basis of the counsel of His will, not taking anyone's accountability into consideration. So no matter what anyone does, some are predestined to salvation, and the rest are predestined to damnation. Well, if that's the case, we would have some today that have had a bad road in their life, that have been down roads that many of us wouldn't dare want to go down, but they've been down them, and they are changed now. They are changed people, preaching and teaching the Word of God, and so, but they might be the predestined is what they'll say. If you talk to someone about that, well, why do we need missionaries, or why do we need to, oh, because you will go and spark something for those that are predestined. That ain't what my Bible tells me. My Bible tells me that we go out and we worship to each other. As Paul went out and talked to the people, we go and talk to the people. We don't pick and choose who we want to talk to, because everybody deserves to be one of His children.
Amen.
See, God does not base His election on anything that He sees in the individual. He chooses to elect according to the kind intention of His will,
yes,
without considering any merit. It doesn't matter what type of class this person is or what this person has done in their life. It's a matter of whether he wants to choose God to be in his life.
Amen.
He has that opportunity to, he has that opportunity to accept Him into his heart, and then if he decides not to, that's something that he will deal with, and then he will have eternal damnation. Not that he's predestined. The Bible does teach election, but in Galatians 3, 8, and 9, it describes that in the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith and preach before the gospel until Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Not just part of them, not just a few of them, but all nations. You see, I can tear this apart too, but don't you go sit down with somebody that knows it better than you. You talk to someone that goes to that church, I think they've been taught to tell you the difference of what the Bible Scripture says, to change that around. You see, you got to be careful. But because we have ones out there right now. Oh yeah, I'm getting ready to say it. The Church of Jesus, the Latter-day Saints, the Mormons we call them, they've taken the Scripture and turned it around and added more stuff to it, and yet they call themselves a Christian. Now, I'm not going to go into every single thing, but we got to know the difference. Today we're talking about Calvinism. I'll stick to that. Ephesians 1, 4, and 5, it says, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. In other words, God has the ability to foresee the future and to see the future while it's yet the future still. There's no way to indicate that God randomly chooses a select group. So they're teaching something that is nowhere in the Bible that it says that Jesus does that or that God does that. He does not tell that one group is going to heaven, the other is going to hell. As He even destroyed the cities that were sinning, it was because they were sinning. And He gave them an opportunity to change, and they never did. How many opportunities have we been given? We have several people out there today that think that they are doing right, that they are living the way they're supposed to do. Only those who receive Jesus Christ as Savior can become God's elect.
Amen.
Therefore, we have a choice in the matter, and it's by choice, not by God's unconditional election. In other words, we're not chosen as a select few. We have that opportunity. Everyone has the ability, the same ability, to be a part of God's army. limited atonement. Calvinism teaches us that Jesus died only for the elect. Jesus died and paid for our sins for all, not just one or two or a select few. Jesus did not bore the sins of just the elect. See, John, 1 John 2:2 says, "And he himself is a propitiation." I have messed up that word. "For our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world." John 3:16 said, "For so God loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Whosoever. It didn't say select few, select group. It said all. The scriptures are very, very clear when it says this, that God died for all. It was effective for all. The scriptural teaching is that Jesus died to pay the price for all mankind. You see, people try to twist and turn it all around. I have twisted it and I have turned it every which way, but I had never seen in that verse there that it said just a few people. Hebrews 2:9 says, "But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels, for their suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God might taste death for everyone." Doesn't say just a few. So according to these scriptures here, Jesus' atonement was not limited, but was for all people. He paid the price for all. His sacrifice was unlimited, not limited to a certain few. Irresistible grace. You see, Calvinism teaches that when God calls his elect into salvation, they cannot resist. God offers to all people the gospel message. This is called the external call. But to the elect, God extends an internal call, and it cannot be resisted. This call is by the Holy Spirit, who works in the hearts and minds of the elect to bring them to repentance and regeneration, whereby they willingly and freely come to God. This is the Calvinist corner I'm getting this information from. Are we saved by grace? Yes, but that grace is not irresistible. You see, we have people every day that tell us that church is not for me. I don't want to go. Mama had someone at, she was telling me that their place where they go and do their little exercise and stuff, there's a little place there at the harbor that they have a little place to exercise. And one lady was talking about that she didn't want to go to church over there, the Sunset Harbor First Baptist Church, because there's heathens there. You know what the pastor's wife said? Are you going to hell? She needs to get in church somewhere. At least those heathens are there trying to learn something. Where is she at? Sitting there gossiping. In other words, God's grace has been extended to man and is offered to all. Man being man as a species, man and woman. It is imparted or given to those who enact of their own will and choose to receive it. The teaching of irresistible grace is that only the elect will receive this special call. And those elect are not able to resist. We can make our own mind up whether we want to do this or not. But I can tell you, if that you're fully saved and you're fully filled with the Holy Spirit, I feel that God's going to keep you right there. Our problem is that we step away so many times, we don't even realize it. But no, we are not predestined by that, because we can make our own choice. In Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He is calling all. He's not calling a select few. The idea that God would call those who never intended to accept is not only foolish, it is against the very nature of God, and that is what is taught in our scripture. John 14, 6 says, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If Jesus is the truth, he issued a call that he would not allow to be answered. He would then be found to be a liar and a deceiver. And we know that our God's not there. John 7, 37 and 39 said, make it clear the receiving of the grace of God on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. Amen. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of the heart will flow rivers of the living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, who those believing in him would receive. He who believes in him. Here again, it's offering to any man and not just a select few. And you've heard me say that several times, because that is the main thing that Calvinism is teaching us today, is that we are predestined. And I believe that our Bible teaches us very plainly that we are not predestined to nothing. But we do have the opportunity to be destined to live with our Jesus Christ once again. Because if we are fully saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Spirit, then we will once again walk with him. Woo! His grace is not irresistible. It's often resisted by those who don't want to be a part. Perseverance of the saints. Perseverance of the saints. It's also known as that once saved, always saved, or that eternal security. Now, Baptists, we believe this in a little bit, but let me tell you a little bit the difference that Calvinists. So are we eternally secure once we're saved? Yes, we are. We would have probation and not salvation, though, if that was the case. But the Calvinist view of eternal security is a distorted one, because the very term perseverance of the saints is a contradiction. See, perseverance means determined continuation with something, steady and continuing action or belief, usually over a long period of time, and especially despite difficulties or setbacks. The word perseverance itself then means that one has to exert his own effort by his own determination in order to hold out to the end. This contradictory is intended meaning according to Calvinism. See, Calvinist position on eternal security is that we are eternally secure, that we must persevere and hold out to the end in order to receive the salvation he says we have. But he states that we are all unconditionally elected to hold out to the end. They teach eternal security, but their teaching of eternal security is not scriptural. In other words, we are eternally secure once we are saved, not because we will persevere to the end, but because God himself will preserve us until the end. You see, once you become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have accepted him into your heart, we know that we fail every day, but with God's grace, with God's acceptance, with God's ability to forgive us of our sins, we then will see our heaven. But we can fail because we sin every single day. He is there. He's not going to leave us nor forsake us, he said. Some people believe that once you're saved, always saved. I'm not saying that you're not saved. I'm saying that you're not living the way God wants you to live. A sinner is not going to make it into heaven. You have to repent of your sins. You have to live the right way. I don't want to get too far off a track of this, but the Calvinists believe that they're, once they do it, they're good. You see, we fail every day as Christians. We have to ask for that forgiveness. We have to repent of our sins in order to receive that crown and glory. In 2 Corinthians 1, 21 and 22 says, "Now he who established us with you in Christ and has anointed us in God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee." Ephesians 4, 30 says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." So we are told the one who has established us in Christ has saved us. Is God, that is he who has sealed us, given in this down payment, if you will, of the Holy Spirit as proof, positive of that total transformation, which includes our bodies as well as our souls. As we will one day be a part of that glory land. Again, when we are saved, God seals us with the Holy Spirit, preserving us, not because we have to persevere. John 10, 27, 29, Jesus says that it is plainly as possible. He said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they will follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which give them me is greater than all, and no man will be able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." If you think the devil can get at you, he's going to be right there and he's going to give in. But the more you give it to God and the more you keep praying and believing and teaching and telling others about what he has done for you, then Satan just keeps running away because he can't handle that. He can't handle when you're doing good. He tries to come around and get you all riled up about things. Well, let me tell you, church, you need to get all riled up of what Jesus Christ is doing for you and what you can do for others.
Right.
We see that. Calvinist concept of the doctrine here is distorted because it involves man's effort in this process. They still believe that it depends on God in order to make that happen, but you got to be careful about that. You see, what has happened is that Mr. John Calvin, I'm not saying the guy intended, he had good, great intentions, I guess, but he took the word and twisted it. That's what's wrong with some teachers out there today. They want to take what the Word of God says and they want to twist it. Be careful. Be careful, church. It's not just in Calvinism that this occurs. It occurs in a couple more. I'm not going to talk about them today. We have seen that Calvinism does consist of those 5 points. And we've discussed them pretty much in detail. But please go back and do some research on that. If you don't believe what I'm saying today, go look for yourself and look for these scriptures and let them show you through the Bible that Calvinism is not something that we need to be steering towards, but away from. You see, these teachings must be exposed because they're hearsay. You see, as we were just discussing it Monday night and talking about that, I didn't have a clue or I didn't know how to speak to that. I have talked about other doctrines. I spoke about them or heard them through some of my studies, but not enough that I could actually tell you the difference between them and really be able to share with you. So I wanted to do that. So I want to tell you this as I'm going to close here. 2 Peter 2, 1 and 2 warns us about such teachers. Peter says, "But there were false prophets among the people. And even as there shall be false teachers among you, who are privily share, shall bring in damnable hearsays, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." We've had some people out there that people have accused of being false prophets. And the thing is, we need to compare that to what the Word says. Not just because they're prosperity preachers and they want to preach just on the good things. It doesn't mean they don't believe in the bad things. We need to be careful about what we say about that. Make sure that what they're saying is in the Word. Beware, church. Do not be deceived. Let us pray. Lord, I just pray today that if we had any doubts about Calvinism, Lord, that it was definitely shared and definitely brought to light, that we understand what that means, that we understand that it does go against the Word of God, and that is the most important thing. We need to understand the purpose that the Bible is teaching us, not distort it, not to go around and confuse it. We need to make sure that we understand what the Word of God tells us to do. And I hope, church, that you have understood that. Lord, I just pray that you have allowed this to be understood today. We just thank you and we praise you for all that you've done for us. In your name we pray. Amen.